Ladies, summer is coming to an end, the kids are back in school, and it's time to focus on you. No, really, I'm serious, it's time. Rejuvenating Health is offering a back-to-school Labor Day special from now until September 4th. You will receive all of our diagnostic testings for free. The extensive lab work, the gut health testing, and even the DNA testing, all for free. We have 10 spots open for this amazing deal. So if you're ready to finally get to the root of your symptoms and reach your goals, this is the time. Don't wait to make another New Year's resolution. We all know what happens with those. If you would like more info, message us on social media or send us an email at rejuvenatinghealth.net. We can't wait to chat. Any views, thoughts, or opinions expressed on the Rejuvenating Health podcast are solely that of the speakers and are intended as such. Please contact your trusted medical practitioner for medical advice. Let's go, girls! Hey, ladies, welcome back to the Rejuvenating Health podcast. I'm Shauna, and as always, I'm here with women's health nurse practitioner, Lindsay Van Schoik. And today we are joined by the co-founder and head coach of Enlifted, Mark England himself.
Hi, Shauna. Hi, Lindsay. Hello, audience.
We're excited to have you. This is super great. And we're going to have to watch our soft talk. I told myself this morning when Mark comes on, I just got to watch my soft talk.
You know, just got all these soft talk keyword sheets laying around. You got yours?
Oh, I hit it with my microphone. Yeah, I have it on my
That's
wall.
So cool.
It's in our gym.
In memory of you.
How?
And your teaching.
It's, you know, cool. How much does soft talk plague people?
Oh my gosh.
So much, constantly.
It's like in every sentence they say.
Yeah. At first it's surprising. Once people learn the words. And let's just go ahead and get into it. Here are the soft talk keywords, folks. If you've got a pen or a paper and piece of paper, write these down. Because very, very rarely do people work on their mindset at the word level. And I'm calling it right now. This is where the conversation about mindset and personal development, at least in the story narrative component, is going. It's going into what words to use less of and why, and what words to use more of and why. And these little gems called soft talk, I promise you, they're in your language, as in your thoughts, what you're saying, and what you're texting and writing, and they're creating anxiety and indecision and stress. So write these words down. Probably, perhaps, feels like. It feels like I'm getting in my own way, Lindsay. Guess, maybe, could, might, possibly, sort of, kind of, almost like, it's almost like I'm beating myself up over the thing. You see how the words get in there and it helps us be wishy-washy about what's going on, and then transformation slows down at best. Should one day try, hopefully, potentially, kind of.
Yes. All the time we use them.
We don't anymore, though.
No, not
you and I know.
Not us. Oh, yeah.
And you all, let me guess, you all catch each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even texting when I first went through the Enlifted program, I would text and then I'd be like, nope, and back that up and take out all the soft talk, even in texting. It's amazing to see how much we use and to eliminate it and the difference.
That's where it shows up first, everybody, in your texts and your emails, because you've got that lag time to be able to look at the words. It's a little harder when they're coming out of your face. Now, what happened when you all took those out as far as comms, communications, with your programs, with your projects? What happened when you took them out?
Well, it just takes out so much ambiguity, right? But you're second guessing yourself and you're not confident in it when you're saying it, and all of those things.
That's what I was going to say, just a confidence booster. I think it makes you feel, or it does make you feel more confident, more empowered. Just in myself, that's what I notice especially.
And right there, audience, what you all just heard from both of them, that's real-time editing. That's real-time real-time thinking about their thinking. And that is absolutely a skill. And that's taken, how long have y'all been studying that? So great job being able to do that. You're obviously thinking about your thinking. Anyone that goes, you know, I think I might be, no, I am. You just saved yourself a bunch of blah coming out, and you tighten things up. And listen, if you're in a position of influence or leadership, okay, you want to be good with your words. Another way of saying that, you want people to enjoy listening to you. And if you've got a bunch of junk, verbal litter in your language and thinks and maybes and guesses and probably, that makes it very unenjoyable to listen to people. And then if you scratch that surface, trust. Okay. And if you've got,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, like if I tell my patients, well, you should probably quit smoking, that, why are they going to quit smoking? There's no assertiveness to it. There's no convincing them to do that. Where if I say stop smoking, it's way different.
It's you know what the difference is there? Them continuing to smoke and them stopping. Direct, being direct. And you know, since this is a predominantly female audience, the main pushback that I get when it comes to taking out soft talk is can I cuss on here?
Or, yeah, sure, you're fine. Yeah,
okay, cool. People say, you know, I don't want to come across as pushy or I don't want people to think I'm a bitch. Okay, and the answer to that is when you, which comes down to what words you use, and how you breathe, the more comfortable you get with what you're saying, the more comfortable other people are with what you're saying. So worry about, and don't even worry about it, just focus on becoming, use your words better, become more comfortable being solid and direct, and what you'll find is usually the exact opposite. People relax around people that are focused and clear and down-regulated and breathing well and present, because that happens when people become confident, they become relaxed. And when people mm-hmm. are lacking confidence, they're stressed out. That's stressful. That stresses the nervous system, and the breath gets trapped in the chest, and then paranoia can set in. It does eventually, to some degree. So
right.
There's a lot to it, everybody.
Especially for people pleasers, right?
Oh God.
For myself, especially, that was the biggest thing, because if when cutting them out, it took away that safety net of me, I would always feel bad, right? If I didn't put those words in, it was less definitive and it gave the other person option to. So as a people pleaser, that was difficult.
Yeah. And not saying that you were doing this, Shauna, and frequently, it's a way of bonding with people. I'm indecisive, you're indecisive, maybe sort of, kind of, and we find that we, she laughed, why'd you laugh? And
because, it's true.
And, yeah, it's very true. And you mentioned Kimberly Kesting earlier and comparison, and that's a way that people bond in the gym very frequently. They just cut themselves to ribbons. I'm gonna self-deprecate and point out all my flaws and, you know, how bad I'm doing. And then someone else is going to say the same thing or similar things about them. And now we suck together. Okay. It's called
misery loves
trauma
company, right?
Bonding. Yeah. All this is easy to fix, by the way, everybody. So what do y'all want to talk about today? I got ideas.
You roll with it. You go with whatever you want.
Tell the women what you think would help them the most, or what you know would help them the most.
What? How much fun did you? We'll do it in the best hour podcast. What? How much fun did you have at the games?
Oh my gosh, it was so much fun. The things that they can do with their bodies is crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah. Do you all go every year?
Matt and I do. Well, it's Matt and I's fifth year, so we've went every year since 2018, except for COVID year, which no one can go during COVID year because, yeah. It's fun to, like, see everyone. Yeah, it's so fun to see everyone. Yeah.
So, and so everybody, Lindsay and Matt and myself, we all met up at the CrossFit Games this past weekend in Madison. I had no idea Wisconsin was so pretty.
Oh, that lake is so, I love Madison. I'm so – they're not going to be there next year, and I'm so sad because it's so beautiful there.
How many – I went once before in 2014 in Carson City. In California.
Okay.
And this is my first year back. I'm calling it now. I already told the team. I was like, listen, we're getting a booth there next year. We're totally having a booth.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
We can run. We can do all kinds of cool stuff, which we will. And yeah, so I didn't know. Madison, very beautiful city. Do you know where they're doing it next year? Has anyone spilled the beans on that?
They haven't said yet. There's like speculation maybe about Tennessee, but it's not for sure yet.
Oh, please. Tennessee.
Would you love that?
How do I know? Because I'm from Virginia. It's right over there.
Yeah.
And so we met up there, and I drove up 14 hours each way. I like a good road trip, but that's another story. And to do the best hour of their day podcast. And this is the second time we've been on that show. And for listeners that don't know, a lot of their audience is gym owners and coaches. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, gym owners and coaches. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very cool guys. Jason Fern, Jason Ackerman, Marcus Gersey, steering the ship. Joel Cochran, bringing the heat. Cody.
Jason was in my class. Nikki. Someone left it. He was in with me. Fern was in Lifted. No, Fern was. Yeah, in my Lifted course that I. Yeah.
Those are just cool people. They're cool. They're very cool. So we drove up there, and so we do the podcast, and we're talking about. So while I was driving, when I would stop, I was in the middle of script writing. The top 10 reasons we're going to evergreen this video. We just finished shooting it yesterday. The top 10 reasons why coaches fail. And fail and quit coaching. And a lot of it came back to flavors and symptoms of the imposter syndrome. And so we started the first half of that podcast there. And then right smack in the middle, Jason Ackerman takes off his headset. And then he comes back with someone who I've never met before and hands her the headset. She puts it on and he goes, coach her. No pressure. I didn't feel any. I was like, okay, I'll figure something out. Because I've done enough of this stuff where I know I'm going to figure something out. And Joel Cochran taps me on the shoulder and he goes, yeah, I've done a couple of sessions with her. So I knew what that meant, generally speaking. And so I asked her, I was like, pick something in the middle of 2024 that and I'm going to get into the details of this thing, everybody. You know why? Because you can go watch that same episode once it drops, best hour of their day. We did the coaching session live, recorded audio and video. And so it was Christina Anderson, who just got her level 4 CrossFit certification. Rumor has it there's not that many of those out there.
That's huge because, yeah, Matt failed his the first time. Like, it's really hard to pass.
That's what she said it was, because I spoke with her yesterday and she said that it's there's no feedback, it's pass or fail.
Yep. And you don't even know. You just leave and then they email you like a week later and say you passed or you failed. It's crazy.
She's gone from 1 to 4 in 3 years.
Oh, that's fast.
Yeah. Yeah. And I said that sounds really fast. And I'm not in the CrossFit world. No, I'm adjacent, but I mean y'all are in it. And so she identified She wants to get on the CrossFit Games staff. CrossFit staff. Or take out the gate, just CrossFit staff. And I said, okay, cool. Here's a pen and a paper. Write that down. So, and it's not a half a sentence, everybody. Okay. It's what really gets the job done. Well, first off, let me back up. Only 3% of the population has any goals. Okay. You might have dreams. If they're in your head, you've got dreams. The difference between a dream and a goal is a dream is in your head and a goal is written down. If it's not written down, it's not a goal. It's a dream and you got schemes, dreams and schemes. Once words hit paper, even if it's a half sentence, and we do way cooler stuff with the words once they hit paper, it's now 10 times more likely to happen. That's a big deal. So while you're listening to this podcast, I invite you to pick up a pen and a piece of paper and write out, because this is what she did. She picked something in the middle of 2024, pick personal or professional, and title it what you want to happen and write out conversationally, as in full sentences with punctuation, detail. Get a couple paragraphs written down about what you want to happen. And the more detailed you get, the better. And you know what? She'd never written it down before. She had it as a half sentence.
Most people haven't.
It's like, yeah, exactly. And these ladies, Shauna and Lindsay, know what they got certified and lifted certified. They know a lot about words and stories, way more than the average person in coaching. And just the average person in general, they're not anywhere near close to thinking about their thinking yet. And so, yeah, most people don't. Okay. Most people do not write things down. And she had written it down in a half sentence, get on CrossFit staff. So she wrote down a couple of paragraphs, and then we got into the words. And here's where I'm going with this. We got into the words, and she read what she wrote. And you can all, like I said, you can see this happen. And the feelings start to show up. And then we get to a sentence that was in the way of everything, unbeknownst to her. And that sentence was, and there was soft talk in there. It feels, this is exactly what she wrote. It feels like I finally have a purpose. Look at the words. It feels like I finally have a purpose. What do you think I had her do? Scratch out the finally. It feels like I have a purpose.
Scratch out the feels.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. These ladies know. Feels like I have a purpose. And when she got to that and tightened that up, because part of her was terrified that she didn't have a purpose and her life didn't matter. That's what the other side of that story was. I don't matter. I didn't matter growing up because my parents were always fighting and they didn't give me – I'm not saying that that's what happened with her. What I'm saying is that's very frequent how stuff like that gets set up. Okay. And then you grow up and those stories don't go anywhere, folks. They're in there. And I promise you, they're influencing how you see yourself. And that's where the feelings of not fitting in, not belonging, not being good enough. And then all the other flavors of the victim mentality, imposter syndrome come from. And we change those words live on air right there. And she, there was six or seven emotional, and then we just moved through it, changed the words. We got the breath in there and it was gorgeous. It was gorgeous. I'm going to post it in the Enlifted Coaches community when it comes out. I'll definitely remember to tag both y'all. And that's every single day at the office. I mean, I got more stories, guy I was working with this morning. 8-figure company. It's working with the CEO of an 8-figure insurance company. And we got into what he was struggling with, which is part of him was paranoid getting on team meetings, okay, as in company wide, and being the leader and being seen as the leader and leading. He was afraid he was going to mess it up and that he just wasn't supposed to be there. And we got into those stories, and you know where we ended up?
He's not scared anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. The story of when he got two stories of when he was bullied in middle school, and one when he got an award at the basketball for being a star basketball player, and his parents weren't there to walk him out on the court, and some random parents that he didn't know had to walk him out on the court because everybody was feeling bad for him. And that memory was jammed in the back of his head, screaming, you don't belong here. You don't deserve to be here. You don't belong here. Even though he's an effective CEO of an 8-figure company. It's like.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the biggest thing I see with the women is not even imposter, but they're a victim. And they're a victim because of these stories that they have in their head. And they don't even know. And they've never processed through those stories to get out of being a victim. So they're a victim to, I don't have time. They're a victim to, my husband's not supportive. They're a victim to, nothing works for me. I've tried all this stuff. But it comes down to, they don't believe in themselves because it's a story that they've told themselves from their past that they've never worked through.
She's right. And while all the external stuff will help holistically, there's no external win, validation, dress size, top line revenue, winning your first MMA fight. That's gonna remediate that feeling of not being good enough and being a victim. Why did I just bring up those last two examples? Because this guy knew that once his company hit 8 figures, he was finally gonna feel like he was good enough. Oh, that's all. That's what I need to do. It didn't happen. And you'll hear that a lot with athletes. They're like, they got this thing they're aiming towards, and they get there, and nice spike in dopamine, and the aftermath is crash. That happened to me.
Right.
I knew for sure that when I won my first MMA fight, I was finally going to be good enough. I was finally going to feel like I was good enough. I wasn't going to feel like a loser. And eventually I won my first MMA fight. And that lasted for about 18 hours. I was shocked. I was shocked. I was scared. Because I knew that I'd finally be good enough after I did this one external thing. Won it on a Saturday night. Sunday night, I'm at the family farm eating dinner. And that same feeling of existential dread washes over me. And I just get up from the table and walk outside stunned. Couldn't believe it. And so here's where we're going with this, everybody. All the positive things that you do, wonderful. They are valuable. Keep doing them. And when it comes to those stories, that nasty voice in your head, those feelings I just keep saying the same, not being good enough, not fitting in, which definitely leads to comparison hell, you need a certain tool to go in there and get them. And those tools, it's a pen and a piece of paper and Shauna or Lindsay. Somebody who knows what to do, how to go get those stories and get them on paper. Because if they're kept in your head, they're just going to kick your ass. They're going to kick your ass. They kicked your ass yesterday. They're going to kick your ass today. They're going to kick your ass tomorrow, as in they're going to repeat themselves. They're going to kick your ass next week, 3 years from now, because the stories, once they get in there, they start rolling. They start looping. You got to get the words out of your head and on paper.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that Shauna and I can both just like vouch for how amazing it is when you actually do go through it. Because we've had to go through it, right? Both, like, this is what you do on the Unlifted course. You go through these stories, right? So even myself, like, I'm super fit, super healthy, super everything, but nothing was ever good enough. Like, my body fat percentage wasn't low enough. Rejuvenating wasn't doing good enough until I went through Unlifted and went through some of those stories of, like, of getting bullied in high school and just letting go of that story. And now it's finally like, huh, okay, you can breathe. Like, you're good enough. You're doing amazing things.
Yeah.
But you have to work through that. You have to go there. And that's not fun to go there. And you think it's silly. Like, if you would have told me that doing that would have made me feel better, I would have laughed in your face. When Matt was trying to get me to sign up for Unlifted, I was like, Matt, that is crazy. That is not going to help.
I can see it. But that's why I'm so appreciative taught in Lifted, though, and that we did that, because I think that that's a key thing that is one of the things that sets our program apart, is the mindset piece. Because like you said, you could be overweight and you can lose that weight and think to yourself, you know what, if I lose this weight and I fit in these clothes and I can wear a bikini, that's it. Like, I'm going to be where I want to be. But it's not true. Because if the mind isn't right, it's not going to matter.
1,000%. 1,000%. And yeah, for sure. Lucky everybody that works with y'all that they found y'all, you know, because you help them with the story too. It's mindset. In my personal and professional opinion, and how does this sound with your audience? Like this, I'll say a little bit about mindset, and then I'll recite the definition of it. And ask them to write it down, because that puts you in a very exclusive category, everybody. Most people have never heard the definition of mindset, much less written it down. So in my personal and professional opinion, and I've been coaching somewhere between full-time and overtime the whole time for the past 16 years, and I can put more numbers out there about the stuff I've done and, you know, whatever. It's impossible to have a holistic, contextual, practical conversation about mindset without the definition of the victim mentality. When we add that in and then continue to talk about the language patterns that script it, now we're taking mindset, because mindset, usually the conversation about mindset, it's this thing that's held this conversation that's held in this big picture way. We know we need to get better at, but how? And if you ask somebody, I dare you to ask people that talk about mindset a lot, what is it? I'd be surprised if they have a definition. And then I won't be surprised. They don't know. They don't know. And if they have a definition, it's going to be some big philosophical clunky thing. How do I implement that? And then the conversation gets all like top level. No. Here, look, watch. You know what mindset is, everybody? Super complicated. Good luck understanding. Your mindset is the story you tell yourself. That's what that is. It's the story that you tell yourself. It's the story you tell yourself to yourself, about yourself, what you can do and what you can't do, what is possible and what isn't possible, and what you do deserve and what you don't deserve. And a lot of that's opinion. That's an understatement. It's you know... nothing ever works out for me isn't on the periodic table of elements. These are not, it's like, I'm a born loser is a unit of measurement. No, these are just ideas that got cooked up at some point in time and just left to their own devices. And so when we put in the definition, because that's what people want relief from when they talk about mindset. If the conversation is had well, they're like, oh yeah, I do want to stop feeling like I suck at everything. Okay. And then once we do that, then we can move on to the even better stuff. Okay. Cause there is better stuff. And let's start the conversation where most people are. It's called meeting your clients where they're at. So I'm going to recite the definition of the victim mentality twice, everybody. I'm going to do it slow the first time, and then I'm going to speed it up and give it some context the second time. I highly recommend that you pick up a pen and paper and write this down. Because, like I said, most people have never heard the definition of the victim mentality, and fewer still have ever written it down. The victim mentality is an acquired personality trait where a person tends to regard himself or herself as the victim of the negative actions of others, even in the absence of clear evidence. The victim mentality depends on a habitual thought process and attributions. Once again, a little faster. The victim mentality is an acquired personality trait where a person tends, it's a tendency, folks. Sometimes it's up, sometimes it's down. A person tends to regard himself or herself as the victim of the negative actions of others, even in the absence of clear evidence. That's the second sentence. The victim mentality depends, circle that word, on a habitual, underline that word, thought process, and attributions. Look, the victim mentality depends, as it has to have, on a habitual, which accurately implies duration and addiction, thought process. What's a thought process? We all have one. It's called how you put your words together repeatedly. And then attributions. What are attributions? That's a characteristic. And there are several we focus on, the main one being breathing, the breath. Yeah, let's get a load of this. If your breath is trapped in your chest, you're going to be uncomfortable in your skin, regardless of how good you look in a bikini. You trap your breath on your chest, you're not going to have a good time on that first or ninth date. Okay? Someone traps their breath, and most people's language and stories are working against them, and their breath is trapped in their chest, and they're just like, this doesn't feel good. Guess what? You can change those words. You can change those stories. You can unlock your breath, and when you're breathing better, your breath descends back down into your abdomen. Boy, are you more fun to be around. First and foremost, for yourself. And then second, other people. Oh, they're so easy to be around. You know what kind of people they're talking about? People that are down-regulated and breathing well. Okay? Victims, the victim mentality, it's like the worst. It sucks the air out of the room. It sucks the air out of people. I just went on a rant.
And most women.
Please.
It's fine. Most women are walking around with the air trapped in their chest, because they're stressed out they think they're stressed out and they can't breathe, and they're not breathing because they're stuck in this story of their head of why they're stressed out. And then they're not pooping. Their hormones are crap. They're just a mess because they're not breathing because of the story that they're telling themselves.
Yeah. I own unpuckered.com. Everybody. If I ever have a podcast, it's true. I was shocked that I got the .com. I'm like, why? Everybody's sleeping. And if I ever have a podcast, it's going to be called Unpuckered, because that's also what happens when people dismantle the victim mentality and the breath unlocks and everything else unlocks underneath that. So here's some stories. After 10 years of doing a lot of work in a number of yoga communities, I reached out to five people in the CrossFit space, and said, who's got the best podcast in CrossFit? They all came back and said Barbell Shrugged. One of them said, y'all have heard the story. Not your audience hasn't. Mm-hmm. They all said Barbell Shrugged, which was at the time the best podcast in CrossFit. And one of them said, oh, by the way, Mike Bledsoe, one of the owners, one of the hosts, is aware of your work. Would you like an introduction? You're damn right I'd like an introduction. And so we got on an email thing, bang, bang. And so I got a black belt in showing up. I drove 28 hours to do a podcast in person. For that Barbell Shrug podcast, I flew from Thailand to Los Angeles to do that podcast, because I know what happens when you show up. That's a whole other conversation. Yeah. It's also relevant to this conversation. Because the victim mentality, one of the main flavors of the victim mentality is the imposter syndrome. And the main thing about imposter syndrome, your fear of being seen. The fear of being seen gets in the way of more people doing what they want to do than anything else. Mm-hmm. And I was riddled with it when I first started coaching, and I got over it to enough of a degree. And then I got over it some more. And now I just don't give a fuck. Okay? Which is fun. And so, and 10 years prior to going on that show, and then now we're in the CrossFit space to the degree that we are. The decade prior to that, I was in the yoga space. And so this is a story about self-worth. I was working with a woman who was a yoga teacher in London. She wanted to raise her prices from £55 an hour for a private lesson to £65 an hour for a private lesson. And that was a big jump for her. You could tell she was starting to get emotional. No, uncomfortable. You could tell she was starting to get uncomfortable. Me being me, so she wrote down £65 an hour. Me being me, I take her pen, I'm sitting right next to her, and I turn that 6 into an 8, and she bursts into tears. Because she just bumped up into her idea, not fact, of what she was worth, which didn't have anything to do with her yoga training. She was very well trained. It had everything to do with something from her childhood, some abuse from her childhood. And we went into that, and then we cleared that story out, and then 85 pounds looked more like 85 pounds instead of summiting Mount Everest. You see how this game is played, everybody? And talking about unpuckering and doo-doos, which are very important. So I'm doing some work with, in a group with a group of yogis in 2017 in Glastonbury, very magical town. And this woman works on a story about her. She was in London and flied over to Ukraine to see her dad. She hadn't seen him in 10 years, which she was 21. It was basically half her life. And it was a very big deal for her. And she flew over there and he wouldn't answer his phone the whole time for 5 days. Then she flew back. And when she got back, then he started picking up her phone. So he dodged her. And she's hella pissed. And this is, oh, by the way, this is like 2 years ago. Not 2 years ago, not 2021. At the time of me working with her, it was 2 years prior. Time does not apply to the emotional body, everyone. That time is a construct of the mental body. That's why that's why you can feel the same set of feelings throughout your adult life. Okay, because it might, if that story is still in your head and it's still in your heart, it might as well be happening now. And that, that old saying, you ever heard that saying that history doesn't repeat itself, it rhymes? I was working with a woman last month and she goes, I've had the same relationship with 5 different men.
Yeah, I believe
it. You know why? Because her parents got a divorce when she was a kid, and her dad walked out, and her mom started telling her and kept telling her, you can't trust men. You can't trust men.
Well, I mean, why do women do diet after diet after diet and keep failing at all of them? Because somewhere deep inside, they haven't found that they don't think they're worth losing weight, and they keep self-sabotaging.
Yep.
It's a thing. It's a total thing. And so we went into this story of her flying over to the Ukraine and did some work on the words. And she saw things differently, saw herself differently. And she took a big breath in. Wow. Something along those lines. And then I go to work with someone else who's right next to her. And she starts writing. 3 minutes later, she gets up. Leaves, comes back 5 minutes later, sits down, starts writing. Another 5 minutes later, she gets up, leaves, doesn't come back till break. I was engaged to a Russian woman, and my Russian impersonation is bad. I'm still going to do it. She comes up to me after the break, and she goes, you know, I changed the words of the story, and now I'm not mad with my dad anymore. I see his pain, and I take big breath in, and I have to go make big shit 2 times. I have to go make big shit 2 times. And I'm sitting there staring at her. She's 5'1", and I'm biting the side of my face thinking, man, am I going to enjoy telling this story for the next 5 decades or however long I'm doing this work? Because that's what happens when we change the scary stories. And we develop them. They evolve. We go from being the victim to the observer. See things different. Zoom out. The breath unlocks. And then you poop better. Wow. And you, poop, you poop better, you look better in a bikini. Don't poop for a month and see if you want to get in a bikini and go out to the beach. Shauna's like, oh my God. Yeah. Yeah, I did just say
not that. Recommended.
Yeah, not recommended. Yeah, not recommended. I mean, is that rocket science, anybody? Dude, don't poop for a month and you're not going to want to do anything. You're going
to. You're not going to want to be alive. Yeah. Dude,
that's a tough one. Oh, you'll like this. Talk about. Yeah, but we're still talking about doo-dooing. Did you all know that the second and third most commonly purchased over-the-counter prescription medications are indigestion medication and constipation medication? And in my personal and professional opinion,
I learned that from you.
Yeah. Yeah. That, you know why that is? Because people are telling victim-centric stories, not that they want to. We got a problem with our language, everybody. This is an education issue. This is not an intelligence issue. It has nothing to do with you as a person. It's not like you're the only person out there creating feelings of guilt and shame and resentment and not feeling like you're not good enough. No, this is an epidemic. This is the real epidemic. Is we got a glitch in our language and it's forcing people to create the victim mentality. Oh, and then there's whole mega industries out there that are supporting this victim Olympics that we got going on and capitalizing off of it financially and socially.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. Yeah. That's
people aren't really sitting in the
What's that?
I mean, you fix victim mentality and you're fixing obesity and a lot of the health problems that are going on in the world.
Yeah.
But you have to go there and do it. Like that.
People don't want to sit in their feelings. That's what I was going to say. Yeah,
that's the thing too. Like even with our clients, we battle with them like, hey, if you want results, you got to go there and it's not going to be comfortable. But the relief that you get from doing it is like, oh my gosh, it will change your life forever.
That's why y'all get results for your clients, because you're telling them the truth. You're not going to get over it, okay? You got to get into it. There's a difference. You got to go in there and go through it. You're not going to get over it. You know what it looks like when people are trying to get over things? I was raped when I was 17, I'm fine. They just speed right over the feelings. I watched that this morning. I watched that this morning on a session. The dude was like, I don't like the way this feels. He didn't say that, but I knew that what he was doing. And he just started talking fast when it got into the stuff about his parents. And then I was like, dude, back up, slow down. And he did. And he did, because he wanted out. He wanted out. He wanted out. He was sick and tired of it enough to where he's like, fine, I'll feel all that again. And
because that's what I was going to say. Yeah.
Yeah,
it makes you slow down. And that's one of the things that I noticed quickly when I did the course with you. I was so impressed with the way that you were able to just sit in your silence. I might have even, maybe I asked that, I'm not sure, but it was just super impressive that you were okay to just sit in your silence and think for a bit about what you wanted to say. And Lakin, who coaches for us, she's very good at that. But I loved to listen to you. Like you said, people who are able to do that, her, I love to listen to her. And you're just easy to listen to, but that's super impressive. It causes you to slow down. And because you're confident, you're fine with sitting there in your thoughts.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think most people need to realize that you can't. One of the number one things that we get or that we have issues with is, okay, we're a health company, so people want their insurance to pay for it, and they don't want to pay for it themselves. You can't get this fixed in traditional healthcare because you have 5 minutes with your physician trying to fix your constipation and weight loss and smoking and obesity. Your physician can't spend time going through these stories with you. They can spend time giving you a medication, and that's not the answer. You have to get unstuck from this stuff.
She's telling you the truth, everybody. She's telling you the truth. It takes more than 5 minutes to fix the feelings of not being good enough. And the hearty hard joke is that you got to go into the feelings of not feeling good enough, like in there. That whole Jordan Peterson confront the dragon, get the gold thing, that's real. You got to go in there. And since we're talking about food and poops and everything, it's the stories, they're like a spicy Thai dish. They burn going in, they smolder while they're in there, and they burn coming out. And if you have no idea what you're talking about, go to your local Thai restaurant, get something Thai hot, message me in 48 hours if you're pooping half okay, and you'll know. And people will do, they don't know that the follow through will end. It's like they don't know that there's going to be a climax, also known as flushing the toilet and walking out of there feeling way better. So they do their very best. I had no idea we were going to talk about poops as much. I love it. An enlightened doo-doo changed my life. I can tell you, I can share that story too. Happy to do it well and do it quick. And so it's this, the Joseph Campbell said it, any feeling felt all the way through is bliss. And most people are stuck in the middle. They're just stuck with the stories in their head. And they're like, I'll do anything. I will pay any amount of money not to feel that feeling again, except like, but the joke is you've got to feel it and take it with a grain of salt. Everybody, I'm no doctor. By any means, I have an IQ of 12. Okay, I have a hand. I'm a former elementary school PE teacher with a handful of MMA fights. That's who you're listening to. Okay, so keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. Yeah. So enlightened doo-doo story. You want that?
Yeah. It's here.
Why not? Since we're here. So I thought I was a tough guy in college. I wrestled in high school. Got into MMA. I had an 8-3 record, won a couple of state kickboxing titles, and move over to Thailand. Okay, I'm gonna train for a year and go pro. No, you're not. And I go over there and jack my knee up shortly after I arrive. 6 months later, after I go, I had 3 going away parties. It was a big deal. I'm having my second knee surgery, and darkness descends, and I turn myself into a grown ass man, baby. That's a technical term. Because it was the end of the world. I couldn't fight anymore. And just blah, blah, blah. And so I'm hating life. And eventually the vice principal comes back. Tom Yates. It's now Dr. Tom Yates. He comes back from break. And so I was teaching elementary school sports at an international school. We're running on an American calendar. So we had 4 months paid vacation. Great gig. Love the kids. And he comes back and he goes, hey, man, there's this really cool place called the Spa down on Koh Samui, an island of Koh Samui. And they're doing these cleanses, and I think you'd like it. And here's a book that they based their cleanse off of. So I take the book and I take my second graders over to the pool. And Paul Marks, the middle school teacher, is over there with the seventh grade. And we swim the kids, and now they have free swim. And he and I get chairs, sit next to each other, and we're just chatting. And I'm flipping through this book. Here's the book. The Tao of Health, Sex, and Longevity by Daniel Reed. And it starts off on the first page. This smacked me right in the face. Traditional Chinese medicine practitioners, they only get paid while their clients are well. Once their clients get sick, that's when they stop getting paid. It can't be a more completely different business model than what most people are engaged in with the industrial medical complex right now. They get paid when you're sick. And I read that, and my mom died of cancer a few years earlier. Thanks and thanks again, Johnson & Johnson. She used J&J talcum powder. Okay, they knew that caused ovarian cancer. They had lost a major class action lawsuit because of it. My mom used it, got ovarian cancer, croaked, miserable death. So I got that in the back of my head, and I start reading this, and I'm like, okay, I get it. And then so I keep thumbing through the book. Yeah, listen, everybody, you got to take care of your own health. There's a difference between developing health and vitality and wellness and symptom, disease and symptom management. There's a big difference.
Yeah. Healthcare is disease and symptom management.
That's she's correct.
That's what you go to 1,000%. The doctor for.
That's exactly what that is. And you're going to get scripted. Chances are.
Yeah.
Chances are. So I'm thumbing through this book, and it's talking about meditation. It's talking about diet. It's talking about exercise. They even talk about energy and acupuncture and all this other stuff. And then they get to pooping. And they show a picture of someone sitting on a Western toilet, and the whole thing, the alignment is just way off. And they talk about all the problems because of that. And then they show someone, which is the traditional way, historically, of squatting down. And they're like, this is completely different, and here's why. And I'm like, that makes sense. Oh, by the way, I got to take a poop. It's like, hey, Paul, I got to go do this thing. You got the kids? He's like, yeah, go. And so I go into the bathroom and squat down on the toilet, squatty potty. I'm sure you guys have seen those squatty potties. Yeah, this is real. And I squat down on the toilet, and I have an enlightened poop. Everything comes out. I stand up. I take a breath, a big breath in, like a breath I hadn't taken in a long time. It was just I promise, ladies, the colors got brighter. The colors got brighter. And I go, this Daniel Reed guy is telling the truth. So I go down to the spa because of the poop, the enlightened poop. And that's where I saw words and stories on that emotional detoxification workshop in 2003. That was the first time I saw story work.
That's so awesome.
Here you are.
Here we
still
are.
Still squatting?
Still, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
look up squatty potty, everybody. Look it up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Here we are talking about
it. Well, yeah, it's great. Yeah. Well, I'm glad we got to talk to you about poop and words and language and all of those things. But well, go ahead, John.
I was just going to say, it's funny. One of the things that I wrote down when doing the Enlifted course was about our podcast. So you're right. And here we are, because we had not had the podcast yet. It was just a thought. And I wrote that down. And here we are.
Yeah, got to write it down.
So cool.
Yeah. If you write stuff down, folks, especially in full sentences, it's 10 times more likely to happen. So, my advice, pick up the pen and the paper and get your words out of your head and look at them.
Yeah. 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 So, if you guys want to find Mark and more about Enlifted, they have an amazing podcast. I know if you're one of our clients, we share their podcast with you a ton and tell you to listen to it. But if you're not one of our clients, then definitely check them out, because they have a ton of good resources. I even know that some of our clients are going through the Enlifted course now because they want to go through it themselves, which I think is awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and we'll link all of the handles and everything for you guys. That way they can access everything easily. But like Lindsay said, we appreciate having you. This was super awesome. And we look forward to you ladies tuning in next week. We'll see ya.
Bye.